Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. We're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over the WSOF and WAJJ airwaves. We appreciate you tuning in, staying tuned, and listening to this broadcast. I hope you're enjoying a good day in the Lord and being blessed, and it's an honor to be able to come to your place of listening. Again, I want to remind you that I'm making these broadcasts ahead of time because I'm actually in the state of Virginia while this is playing, and there visiting with our daughter. She had a little baby girl, and we're excited about welcoming little Alora into the world. Amen. As I was making my broadcast for yesterday, I mentioned to you, those that heard it, as I was making that, actually a week before you heard it, then they had taken Hannah to the hospital, and she was scheduled to deliver on this past Monday the 17th, and yet she couldn't wait. So when I made that recording, was on August the 12th, and Hannah was at the hospital then. They were saying probably before lunchtime we were going to have a baby. Well, it didn't happen that quickly, but just a little bit ago she delivered a healthy little girl, 6 pounds, 14 ounces, just almost 7-pound little girl, and they're both healthy, doing well, and so we're grateful. Hannah said this was a much better delivery than the previous one when she had Aria, and so we're grateful and thankful for that. But I'm grateful for those that filled in for us and took our place so that we could be gone. I appreciate Brother Hall preaching for us on Sunday morning, Brother Bell on Sunday night, and then last night as well. Now, I'd like to encourage you to come out and be with us this coming Lord's Day. I will be here. We're coming back either on Friday or Saturday, depending on how this thing works, but we're planning on being back here by Saturday morning anyway, and we'll be here for the Lord's Day services. So we'd like for you to come and be with us if you can. We'd love to have you be a part of the services and trust that God might meet with us and help us. Our church is located at 1415 Island Ford Road. Very easy to find, right off of exit number 44. And you can find us right there. Very simple. If you're coming on Penny Rile Parkway, take exit number 44. Whichever way you see Lowe's Home Improvement Store at, you turn the opposite way. If Lowe's is on your left, you turn to the right. If Lowe's is on your right, you turn to the left. You'll see our church then on the left, less than a half mile down the road there, that Island Ford Road. So we'd love to have you come and be with us in any and all of our services. We do have special services coming up on the 26th of August, 26th through the 30th. We're having missions revival and looking forward to that, and hope and pray that you'll join in with us and come if you can. We will be broadcasting live over the radio those services, but we'd love for you to be a part of those services with us if you would and if you could. All right? If you will, bow with us as we pray together. We're going to pray that God might bless and help. Pray for those needs that we know about, the sick and afflicted, and the different needs that we know about. Praying, if you will, for us to have safe travel as we come back home. My wife and I will be driving separately because we drove down separate in order that she could be there a little earlier. And that was a blessing that she was able to be there when the baby was born. And that's a blessing. I'll be getting down there just a little bit later. But nevertheless, I've got things I got to do here, and I understand that. And I appreciate the liberties that I do have. But anyway, pray for us. We'll be traveling back, and that we'll have good safety. Everything go well according to the Lord's will. Pray that God would use us here at the house of God on the Lord's day and have his way. Pray for this very broadcast that God might use it. Some sinner might come to Christ. The saints might be strengthened and helped, and Jesus Christ might be glorified. Amen. So if you will, go with us to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you for your love and mercy, your goodness unto us. Lord, I want to thank you for just how good a God you are. Lord, you're a gracious God, a very good God, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you, Lord, for strength and health. I want to thank you most of all for salvation, that you bought our salvation and you brought us salvation when we called upon you and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that you're still in the saving business. Lord, I want to thank you that you'll use broadcasts such as this. You'll use the preaching of the Word of God to convict sinners and to draw sinners by your grace. Lord, I pray do that even now. Use this broadcast. Father, I pray the good seed fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory and the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that are sick and afflicted in body. Would you touch their body, meet their needs? Father, I pray for these unspoken requests that we've been told about. People that are in need of direction, that you'd give them that direction. People that are in need of getting right with the Lord. Father, would you work in their behalf? Bring them to a place that they would repent and get right with the Lord, and you'd get the glory. Father, I pray bless in our upcoming meeting, bless in our Lord's Day services, and Lord, I pray use this broadcast now for your glory and honor. Help us to live the Christian life that would be pleasing unto thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're going to be looking again in the book of Matthew, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4. We're going to be starting a new segment in our sermon on study on the temptations of Christ. I've broken it down in different chapters of study, and I may say more about that as I go. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. And if you'd like to be finding your place, while you're finding that, we'll listen to this song by our family. All right, I'm glad I've changed my way of seeing things. The Lord changed my way of seeing things when He saved me by His grace. I'm looking through new eyes. That's what the song says. And I appreciate our boys singing that song. That was Joshua, Daniel, and Benjamin. And I appreciate them singing that song. Well, we're looking again now at Matthew chapter number 4, dealing with verses 1 through 4, and talking about the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I said that I'm starting a new chapter. Let me refresh your memory, if I can, on some of the things that we've looked at. I'll just do it momentarily and not be long. First of all, we looked at the leading into the wilderness, and notice that verse number 1 tells us that Jesus was led up of the Spirit, not the human spirit, certainly not an evil spirit, but he was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. We touched on the fact that sometimes God leads us through dry places. Sometimes God leads us through difficult places. Sometimes he does that without us knowing why he's doing that. I'll call that in dark places, in which we don't know. We don't have the light to see why we're there. But God understands. God has a plan. Amen. And there's the leading into the wilderness. Secondly, we looked at the fast. Our Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That fast was to humble his soul. And the Bible said he was afterward and hungered. Then we looked, the third chapter, we looked at the when and where of temptations. And I mentioned to you the word then is the fact that immediately after the baptism of our Lord Jesus, immediately after the announcement of God the Father from heaven that this is my beloved Son, immediately after the descending of the Holy Spirit upon him in the form of a dove, and immediately preceding his public ministry, Christ was placed in the temptation wilderness. And I'm going to say sometimes right after a great momentous occasion, right after a great mountaintop occasion with God, we may very well enter into a time of drought, a time of dryness, a time of doubt, a time of difficulty, even a time of deception. The devil will do his best to try to tempt us in those moments after, shortly after we've been on a mountaintop experience with God, or right before God's about to use us in a mighty way, as he was going to with Christ. Then we looked at the temptations themselves, what the temptations involved. We looked, number 5, at the design of our Lord's temptations, how that God had crafted each one, and actually how, really, I guess more in that line was how the devil, what he was working on in that. And then we looked at the tempter himself, number 6, the tempter. Talked a little bit about the devil. He's called 3 different things in those 10 or 11 verses of Matthew chapter number 4. He's called the devil, he's called the tempter, and he's called Satan. And we dealt with those 3 aspects of his personality. Then we talked about the aptitude of the temptations, what they involved. And then we've been studying most recently the first temptation itself. That was chapter number 8, the first temptation itself. Now, today I want to begin this 9th chapter, and I've entitled this, The Weapons and Victory of Christ. Still dealing with the first temptation, although this encompasses all of them. But these show us the weapons and the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verse number 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, the weapons which our Lord used to achieve this victory were the Word of God and the shield of faith. Trust in God. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and trust in God, which is the shield of faith. He said, it is written. He not only gave the devil the Word of God, but he let the devil know he was going to stand on the side of the Word of God. The Word of God was his sword, and the Word of God was his shield. And these are the very same weapons which God has granted the Christian, that we can overcome the world, we can overcome the flesh, and we can certainly overcome the devil with these same weapons. You see, by these weapons, when our Lord used them against Satan, Satan was overcome, and his purpose was frustrated. You see, the Bible is the arsenal of the heroes of God. Amen. The Bible is the spiritual armory of the good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Every single person who has ever triumphed in the spiritual conflict has equipped himself with the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you the only way, the only thing the devil's scared of. The devil's not afraid of my word. He's not afraid of your word. He's not afraid of some other person's word. But I'm going to tell you, there is one thing the devil fears, and that is the word of the Lord. He must obey the word of the Lord, and he cannot overcome the word of the Lord. So I'm saying again, this Bible is the arsenal for the heroes of God. This Bible is the spiritual armory of the good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Everyone who has ever triumphed in the spiritual conflict has equipped himself with the Word of God. I want to exalt the Word of God again and encourage you to believe in it, to use it, to immerse yourself in it, and you'll gain the victory by doing so. From this armory of the Word of God, we can take the sling stones that can knock down the devil's Goliaths to the ground, and then with the sword of the Spirit, we may take off his fierce and massive head. I'm telling you, the devil will assault us with great and massive weapons. The devil may assault us with great and massive afflictions. The devil may assault us with great and massive temptations. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God, though it may look like it's a small, smooth stone, with the sling of God and by the grace of God, it'll knock every Goliath that the devil has to his knees. Amen. It'll knock every Goliath that the devil has to the ground. And with the sword of the Spirit, we may chop off his massive head. Amen. You see, the man or the woman that has access to this spiritual armory is equipped to be powerful in the camp of Zion. Praise God. Listen, friend, man or woman, boy or girl, if you will get a hold of the Word of God and let the Word of God get a hold of you, you can do great and mighty things for God. Amen. You have all the weapons necessary. You have all the means necessary to do great and mighty things in the camp of Zion. Amen. These weapons that I'm talking about, the weapon of the Word of God, the weapon of faith, are the only things that the devil's afraid of. I believe that's right. These weapons are that which Satan is afraid of. It has been the devil's unremitting endeavor to either conceal or to despoil the Word of God. The devil is constantly trying to destroy either the Word of God itself or the effects that the Word of God has upon people. The deceiver has evermore attempted to battle against the Word of God. He's constantly trying to destroy or weaken the powerful force of the Bible. Amen. Since the very first temptation in the Garden of Eden, Satan has attempted to blunt the sword of the Word of God by bringing its truths into question. You remember just shortly after God said unto Adam, he said, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, you can eat of any of the trees, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan came to Eve and he said, yea, hath God said. He's dulling the edge of the Word of God. He's trying to blunt the sharpness of the Word of God. And that's what he's still doing to this day. He's doing his best to draw the Word of God into question. He's doing his best to conceal the Word of God or to destroy its effects. Satan has cunningly resorted to a multitude of devices. He has stooped to many levels of questions that he might try his best to circulate and bring forth accusations and complaints against the Word of God. The devil is industrious in the fact that he labors constantly to try to bring questions and complaints against the Word of God. Oh, we hear it all the time. You hear people say, well, now that's an outdated book. Now, how come we're going to base our beliefs on a 2,000-year-old letter or a 2,000-year-old book? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that book's more than just a man's book. This is God's book. It's not man's words. These are God's words. And they'll not only stand 1,000 years or 2,000 years, they'll stand the test of time. They are forever settled in heaven. Amen. But the devil's doing his best to bring into question the Word of God. He's trying to bring complaints and accusations against the Word of God. The devil has attempted to throw suspicion on the Word. The devil tries to render it as ambiguous. He tries to make men think that it cannot be understood, that the Bible must have multiple meanings, and that we really can't believe it. And there, he's trying to rob men of the pure, unadulterated Scriptures of truth. I want to tell you what we can stand on. The best thing to defeat a lie is the truth. You know what liars hate? Liars hate the truth. And the devil is a liar. He has been from the beginning. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but that's right. He's a liar. He always has been a liar. And he hates the truth. And so he does his best to bring into question the Word of God. He does his best to try to render the Bible suspicious or ambiguous, and therefore robbing men of the pure, unadulterated Scriptures of truth. Think about what accusations and what assertions the devil's not made under the high-sounding title of exposition. Oh, the devil sometimes claims to be a great preacher, and he says things like this. Well, the Bible doesn't really mean that right here. Here's what it really means. The devil claims to be a great expositor and a great preacher, and he says, well, now, this isn't exactly what God meant to say. Here's what God meant to say. Or he'll say, a better translation would be this. And on and on and on he goes, trying to bring in these questions, trying to bring in doubt upon the Word of God. He calls it exposition. He uses high-sounding words. He claims to be some kind of great Bible critic, some kind of great Bible scholar. Can I tell you, the Bible does not need critiquing. The Bible needs studying. The Bible needs believing. The Bible needs living. Amen. The Bible needs preaching. The Bible don't need to be critiqued. The Bible does not need to be changed. But the devil would tell you we need a better translation. We need a better word. But you know what he's doing all along? He's trying to impugn the authenticity and the genuinity or the genuineness of the Bible. He's doing his best to claim that it's not true. There's not a single book in the Scriptures that the authority of which has not been somehow questioned. This malicious fiend, this evil devil, this lying deceiver will look at the Bible and he'll say, well, the book of Genesis, it really couldn't have been written as early as they think. And then he'll call into question the book of Exodus and then the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. And he goes on until all 66 books before he's finished, he'll tell you there's some problem with each and every book of the Bible, and he would have you to throw the whole thing out. He brings in into question these words. He does his best to attempt to shake these words, to shake the authority, to question the genuinity or the authenticity of the Word of God. Amen. There's not a miracle in that Bible that the devil has not claimed is a fable, that the devil has not claimed is a fake. Not one miracle. Listen, the liberals don't believe in the miracles. The liberals don't believe the Bible. You know what they are? They're in the same camp as the devil himself. Amen. And the devil has done his best to call into question the Word of God and to disbelieve and cause men to disbelieve the Word of God. There's not one promise in that Bible which the devil has not sought to weaken or to nullify. The devil will tell you, you can't claim that promise. That's only for Israel. You can't claim that promise. That's only for this one or that one. That's not for you. That's not for this dispensation. That's not for this age. That's not for you. Can I tell you all, I like what the song says, every promise in the book is mine. Amen. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm glad the Bible is for me. Amen. Now I do recognize that God made some promises to Israel. We're not replacing Israel. We don't believe in replacement theology. No. But I do believe this. If God the Holy Spirit was to impress me to believe a promise in that Bible, although it was made to somebody else, that promise is still active and I can claim that promise and believe God on it. For example, I remember reading about men that their church needed property. And they have gone out and walked around the edge of the property that they wanted to buy. And they had people saying, you can't buy that property. We're not going to sell that property. But by walking around it, they claimed the promise of Joshua that they'd march around as marching around the walls of the city. And God miraculously gave them that property. Why did he do that? He did that because the promise is still active. Because his word still works. Thank God. Now the devil will call that into question. The devil is always trying his best, using his instruments, his servants, his false prophets, his college professors, and others. Somehow the devil will interject himself and will do his best to influence people not to believe the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that the King James Bible is still a sharp two-edged sword. The devil knows that a man or woman that'll stand on faith, that shield of faith, can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so the devil will do his utmost to bring into question the purity of the Word of God. The devil will do his best to make a stumbling block out of the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God's a stumbling block to him. It trips him up every time. Amen. But I want to tell you, we should never listen to his questions. We should never listen to his complaints. We should never give heed to his accusations. We ought to spurn the devil with all anger. Amen. We ought to turn our backs upon him when he opens his accursed mouth and say, depart from me. Amen. We're going to believe the Bible.